श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय, श्रीमती राधा रानी की जय। We're continuing to discuss the 10th canto Bhagavat, chapter 29 through 33, Ras Panch Adhyaya, Panchantyaya, Ras Lila, chapter 29 through 33. We're on verse number 3. Tristva kamudvantam akanda mandalam ramanarababam navakun kumarunam vanam chatatko malago birashchitam jago kalam vamadrisham manoharam. We're discussing the first line, Tristva kamudvantam. Tristva kamudvantam akanda mandalam. Translation. When Bhagavan Sri Krishna saw the Akanda Mandalam, the unbroken disk of the full moon rising in Sharad Purnima in the autumn season, late at night, the moon was glowing with a reddish effulgence, appearing like kunkum on the face of Lakshmi Devi. Krishna saw in the Virva Yamuna the night-blooming lotuses, the Kumudi, white lotus. And so beautiful. And the moon was blossoming in response to the moon's, the flowers were blossoming in response to the moon's presence. So in all these analogies, there's Krishna and there's Radha. The presence of the moon, the flowers blossom. The presence of Krishna, the gopis' hearts blossom, the lotus of their hearts blossom. And when a jeev, when a human being is standing or accepts the presence of God in his heart, then he blossoms. His own Sahasra Padma, the thousand-petaled lotus of his pure consciousness, blossoms, expands, feels happy. And the forest was gently illumined by the rays. Is it the rays of the moon, Purnachandra, that are illuminating the forest? Or is the rays of Krishna's Madhurya Prem Jyoti? Is the rays of Krishna Chandra, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Chandra? He is illuminating the forest. Thus, with this ideal romantic surrounding, Krishna played sweetly on his flute, Jago Kalam. And by that sweet flute song, he enchanted those gopis who have, those Braja gopis who have enchanting eyes. He enchanted them, Manoharam, Manoharam. He stole their minds. So yesterday we were discussing about Dristva Kamudvantam and several points, what this white lotus flower represents, Kamudvantam, Kamudi. But then, we see that the Acharyas, the Rasikjan, they take the word ku mood. Ku means earth, bhumi, and mood, muda, mood, M-U-D-A, mood. It means pleasure, satisfaction. And so many meanings we shared from the treasury of Bhakti Vigyan of the great Acharyas. There's one more. That the presence, it says that the Akanda Mandalam, when the rising full moon took rain, took control over the nighttime sky and disseminated his beautiful moon rays, then the presence of that moon, that cause created an effect. The cause is the full moon. And what's the effect? For one type of flower, the full moon has a very close relationship and a powerful effect. When that flower sleeps all day, usually in the sunshine, all the flowers wake up and open their faces. The roses open their faces. The mogras open their faces. So now, this particular flower opens up and blossoms at midnight, 11 o'clock, when the moon rises. So this is the Kamud flower, and the presence of that moon makes it happen. So now, we have shared the idea that Ku means earth and Muda means pleasure. So the presence of the moon, Akandamandalam Purnachandra, Sharad Purnima, when he appears, becomes present, then things happen. There's effects. The white lotus flowers blossom. And then it says that the whole forest is gently illuminated by the Purnachandra. So one more meaning is the presence of the moon enlivens the lotus flowers. So the presence of Krishna, because he's the Adi Purnima, Krishna Chandra, he's the origin of everything. When Krishna enters the forest, whether it's Amavasya, or it's Purnima, or it's Nomi, or Krishna Paksha, or Shukla Paksha, the bright moon time of the month, or the dark moon, as soon as Krishna enters the forest, he also illuminates the forest with his rays. His jyoti, illuminate means he spreads light everywhere. When the full moon shines, you can walk through the forest and find the footpath. You can walk through the village roads without street lighting. No difficulty. So bright, such a soothing, soft moonlight. When Krishna enters the forest of Braj, our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti, they describe the Ashtakaliya Leela of Krishna. That in the daytime, Krishna has Gocharan Leela and Banbihar with all the suckas and coward boys pasturing the cows. And then he leaves. He leaves at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's called Apurvan Leela. Brings all the herds of cows back to Nandagam. And then he bathes, and sometimes he wrestles and plays with the boys, takes care of the cows, Goseva, meets with his father and all his uncles. And then they enjoy entertainment, but not television or cable TV. They have live theater and so many entertainment. So they have performers, actors and actresses and jugglers and storytellers and musicians. As you find in ancient times in India, in the king's court, they had the king's dancers. We hear about Indradev and Swarga. He has celestial apsaras dancing for him and the greatest of musicians and all kinds of poets and recitals and music recitals, people doing acrobats and juggling, all these things for the entertainment of Krishna, Krishna's happiness. And the whole family, they work hard with the cows in the fields all day, Nanda Baba and all the coward men. So in the evening they enjoy, relax, as we try and also do after a hard day's work. But it says in the Shastra, Govinda Lilamrita, that although everyone was looking and appreciating the talented performers, men and women, in that artistic performance, display of Kala, actually, the cynosure of everyone's eyes was Lalaji, Nandalal, Yashoda Nandan. They were looking, okay, juggling, but everyone's like, oh, Lala, look at Krishna's Mukachandra. Krishna Mukachandra, so gentle, so sweet, so attractive, so charming, and so mischievous. With that cudgel around his eyes. He looks like a thief. And he comes to my house sometimes and steals makkan chur. And like this. So then, it's like, but when we watch television nowadays, or we watch the television or computers, we're totally, our fixation, attention is totally on the television. We don't know if our husband's there, or our wife's there, or kids, or anything. Our whole attention is the act, and not the people, or not the essential actors. In a house, the essential actors are the mother, the father, the daughter, the son, the mother-in-law, etc. But when now a TV is there, the main star, the nayak, the nayaka, the hero and the heroine is the television. So in Krishna's time, 5,000 years ago, they had a television, but it was live TV, live drama, action. But everyone was looking at Krishna. No one was looking at their computer. Now people are like this to their computer. It's time for dinner, huh? It's getting cold, huh? You can come back to the computer. No. I'm staying right here. Just keep it there. I'll heat it up later. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Radhe, Radhe. Stita-di Muni. Stita-di TV Muni. Fixed, glued, faceted, riveted on the computer screen. Madness. Wife is crying for lack of attention. We have jokes in the modern times. Oh, do you know Sunil? He married his computer. I heard Sunil's getting married. Yes, he married his computer. Acha? Yeah, they're going steady. They're going steady. They've been together hour after hour. At 1 o'clock at night, he's paying full attention to his wife, Miss Computer, whatever name, Pretty Computer. It's a very pretty computer. This is a modern age, but in Krishna's time, it's something different. So when Krishna, afterwards, after so many hours interval, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 9, 10, 7, 8 hours, he's not in the forest. And when Krishna comes for Uttara Goshta Lila, he returns from the Goshta, the pasturing grounds. Goshta. Gosht means sounds. So many sounds of life in nature, in the farm, in the country. So Goshta, we say cow pastures, the valleys, the Goshta. And Goshtaraj, Brijendra, Nandan's, his father, Nanda Baba. Goshta, but actually Gosht means sounds. And so there's so many Mangala sounds. The cows, bellowing of the cows and the bulls, haw, haw, thousands of cows and birds. These are the sounds. So Krishna lives in a world of sound. When he goes out to pasture the cows, it's not silence. It's not outer space where there's no sound. It's living sound. It's loving sound. It's Vrindavan. The richness of nature and the variegatedness and color of pastoral agricultural setting. So he's coming back from the Goshta. Goshta Uttara Goshta Lila. Coming back to the palace and to the Goshala. Nanda Baba's Goshala Nandagram. So when he leaves with all the cows and coward boys, then the trees droop. As if it's winter. They fall like this, drooping. And then the flowers close. And the birds stop chirping. And the peacocks stop dancing. They fold, they close their fan tails and just walk. And the deer stop prancing. The deer, the mriga, they just walk very slowly as if they carrying a heavy burden in their heart of the pain of separation from some dear one. If someone is suffering in separation from their beloved, they're not skipping and jumping and singing. They're kind of moping along. We say moping along. They're walking and something moving, but their heart has gone elsewhere. Their mind is elsewhere. So the whole of Vrindavan becomes like that. The Pakhi Pashu, Jamuna. Jamuna, when Krishna's playing in the forest, Jamuna's rushing and gurgling. Rivers speak, trees speak, the air speaks, the animals speak, the earth speaks. And for those that are sensitive and highly developed beings, they can hear the voice of the earth. They can hear the voice of the sky. They hear the voice of the trees and birds. Birds, everyone can hear. But can you hear the earth speaking? Vrindavan me kan kan bole shi radha radha. There's one bhajan. Krishna, radha. It's a braj tattva. So the earth is speaking. What's the earth in Vrindavan speaking? Shri Radha Radha. Why? Because that's the favorite top hit song for Krishna. Krishna plays one song over and over again. He plays it on his cell phone. He plays it on his computer. Wherever he goes, he's surrounded by that sound. This is because Vrindavan is his heart. So that sound is vibrating within Krishna's heart. Our heart is making sound. You know the sound. You're a doctor. Lub-dub, 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 lub-dub. At least we hope it's making that sound. If it stops making that sound, then you better chant Hare Krishna fast because you're on your way out. So this is the sound of our heart. But Krishna's heart says, Radha, 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 Radha. So Vrindavan loves Krishna. The kankan, braj kankan, the particles of dust, the rate, the raman reti, the rate, the raj, brajaraj, loves Krishna. A stone can love God, but we can't. How come? A rock can love God, but our hearts are harder than a rock. Even a stone in Vrindavan is loving God, chanting Radha, Radha. The trees are chanting. Let's say Brajdame. Brajaki Lata Patabi Bole Shri Radha Radha. In Brajadham, even the leaves and the trees are speaking. Can you hear the leaves speaking? Can you hear the earth speaking? So this is a bhajan about the reality of Vrindavan, which supports the very tattva siddhanta that I'm saying. For the realized, God realized. For the premi bhakta, Radha Krishna, premi bhakta, then the land of Vrindavan is not dead matter. It is alive. Chinmoy shakti. Chinmoy. Not alive with prakriti, but alive with chit. Prakriti is this energy of this life, but it's not really life until jiva is there. But the whole environment is alive, pulsating. Every particle is pulsating. Every leaf is vibrating. Every flower is shaking. Every animal is singing. The monkeys are singing. The birds are singing. The deer are dancing and singing. Not only singing, but dancing. Monkeys don't dance very well. Deer jump and dance. Even Sita was captivated by the dancing of the deer. The beautiful Marichi, the golden deer, Sona Mriga. He was prancing, singing and prancing in Dandakaranya. Oh, Ram, just see, golden deer. Do you know in Ayodhya, we have that beautiful, we have so many pet deer, and I personally feed them with my hand, and they lick my hand, and I scratch their ear. Remember, in Ayodhya, we have our deer park? Yes, my beloved. But now we're in the forest, and there's thousands of deer. But look, a golden deer. I've never seen. We have a black deer. We have a spotted deer. This is very, very rare. Please, you catch. We'll take to Ayodhya, put in my park, and I will feed him and care for him and love him. Yes, my beloved, I will go. Then Ramji went to serve his wife. God serves the devotees. Devotees serve God. This is love. It's not love. Spiritual love is not a one-way street. It's full-on two-way street, eternally and perfectly. So the forest of Vrindavan is alive, speaking, singing, chanting, dancing. We see in those visionaries, those imaginary type of people like that make movies, cartoons, and famous Walt Disney and all this animation, they show these, what we call cartoons, where trees are dancing and animals are speaking to one duck is speaking. One duck is speaking to one mouse, and one mouse has a wife. You know, the mouse's name, mouse has a name, Mickey, and he has his wife, whatever her name is. And then, you know better. I haven't watched in a long time. So, you were a kid when I was 30. So, you were watching cartoons and I was serving my Guru Dev. At any rate, so they see, and we say, oh, these are amazing cartoons. The animals are speaking. And when we're children, we watch the cartoons, we say, yeah, of course, animals speak and they laugh and they have fun together and they talk. And there's Panchatantra stories in Hitopadesh, and the alligator talks to the monkey. And so it's all so personal and so intimate. And we accept it all because we're so-called, quote-unquote, children. And then we grow up and we realize everything is not personal but impersonal. And animals don't talk, and the ground doesn't talk, and the trees don't talk. That's because we can't hear. If a deaf man may think everyone's deaf. My Gurudev used to give an analogy. One man was married, and he was deaf. He couldn't hear, and his wife could hear fine. So she would be in the kitchen cooking. So the deaf man, he would say, Oh, Devi, please bring some water. And then she didn't come right away. So then he, Devi, please give some water. Are you deaf? Can't you hear me? She was just cooking a chapati. She heard him perfectly, but he's thinking, because he's deaf, so he can't understand. Because he's deaf, he can't understand that other people can hear nicely. So when we hear that sages and rishis and the animals are speaking to Krishna and Krishna is speaking to them, we can't accept it because we're deaf, we're blind. Our spiritual hearts are deaf. Our spiritual hearts are deaf. We cannot hear. And our spirit, we say anda jana, blind man. And our spiritual eyes are blinded. And so our Brahmaji, Brahma, Adiguru Brahma, he tells, do you want to cure the blindness of material vision? Because we have transcendental vision. It's called Divya Drishti, Divya Darshan. And then there's regular sight vision. So there's transcendental, we have television, we have vision and television. Tell a long distance. And there's a microvision. You look at it close. You can see close up. Microscope, telescope. Telescope far away. So television means casting an image far away. So this is called spiritual vision. Have you heard of Bhagavad Gita? And there's a gentleman, a devotee there, a minister, servant of, Dhritarashtra. His name is Sanjay. And Sanjay had transcendental television. He could see the battlefield sitting in the palace. So this vision comes, Brahmaji says, we can get transcendental vision. We can all become Sanjays, become seers of reality, true seers of reality. You don't need a long beard and all kinds of Rudraksha beads and 10 rings on each finger and long silk, you know, saffron and big fancy ashram and gadi and all these things. Car. But what you need is chit darshan. You have to have spiritual vision. There's material vision and spiritual vision. Material vision, what is material vision? Oh, you are a woman, I am a man, bus. That's material vision. Material vision, I am Hindu, you are Indian. Material vision, I am Christian, you are Muslim, or whatever. Differences, bayed. Material. But material, everything material is temporary, comes and goes. Birth, growth, maintenance, production, dwindling, vanishing. All changes are there, everything material. That's material vision, which is everywhere. But then there's spiritual vision, very, very rare. To see beyond the cover. To see beyond the cover, this skin, this bag, this nation. This nation is a cover of our Atma. This body is a cover of our Atma. Our conceptions, our man vichar, our mental considerations, opinions and ideas and conditionings are also a further subtle covering of our Atma. Koshas. These are kosh. Anamaya kosh, monamaya. So many. Anamaya means the body and senses, indriya. Anamaya, ana, kana, food, bread, mana from heaven. In the Greek is mana, M-A-N-N-A means food. And you say kana. Kana means food. Well, it's the same thing in Greek. M-A-N-N-A, mana, means bread from heaven. Because everywhere the word food means bread, grains. Krishna is telling in Gita, anad bhavati bhutani parjanyat anasambhava. Anad bhavati bhutani parjanyat anasambhava. He says that anad, grains, food grains. He said all living entities, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Bhagavad Gita may, all living entities subsist, exist, and live by the strength and power and nourishment of grains. Bhat, chaval, rice, gehon, wheat, rye, oatmeal. These are the staff of life. If you have no fruits, okay, not so great. No vegetables, okay. You have no grains, completely kamjor, no strength. This human body depends on grains. And they're given by Krishna, and they come from rain. But rain comes from yajna. And yajna is born of varnashram dharma. When we follow varna and ashram dharma, the devas are pleased, the brahmins are pleased, Vishnu is pleased, and everything's adjusted perfectly. Perfect rain, perfect production, perfect seasons. And now it's all, anything goes. and nothing, no yajna, so much suffering. So the forest was unhappy when Krishna left. Radharani feels viraha when Krishna leaves her sight in the evening time. And Nishant Kal, Nikunja Bhanga Leela. Radha and Krishna part. Krishna returns to his home, Radha to hers. Krishna to his parents, Radha to her in-laws and her husband, Abhimanyu. And they're unhappy in separation. And they're pining for each other, waiting for the moment, the hour, the time when they'll meet again. Not only, quote-unquote, human beings can feel separation, but also animals, also trees. So when Krishna leaves, when Krishna comes into the forest, there's Sambhog, Milan, with all the Pashu, Paki, Briksha, Lata, Trina, Bhumi, everyone. Now when Krishna leaves, there's Viraha. This is an aspect of love. Love is always not a union. There's separation and union. Eternal love means eternal union and separation. There's no more eternal love than Krishna and Radha. The paramount, topmost expression of the pinnacle of divine love. Madhurya Rati, conjugal, romantic, amorous love. Parakiya Bhav, an unmarried man having relationship with married gopis, a Brajavadu, young married girls of Vrindavan. Highest ecstasy and joy and thrill and surprise and love in this Parakiya relationship. So Brahma says that you can get that spiritual vision and you can understand all these realities of spiritual life when prema comes in the heart. Prem drishti. There's prakriti drishti, to see matter. What's the matter? People say, what's the matter? What's wrong? Matter is what's wrong. They say in English, what's the matter? What's the matter? In English, your wife, you come home from work, your wife is crying. Oh, what's the matter, my darling? Why are you crying? And she says, the matter is the matter. Matter in English means stuff, things, objects. Prakriti, you say prakriti. This material energy, ashta prakriti in Gita. Krishna is describing the hard stuff, the hard materials and elements that make up this material world. The rock hard things and the soft things. The soft things, linga sharir, hard things, shuksha sharir. Gross body, subtle body. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu, kamano buddhi evacha, ahankara. And then it says, man buddhi hankara, ashta prakriti. Krishna says, ashta prakriti. These are the objects. This is what matters. So when the wife is crying and you say, what is the matter? She says, the matter is the matter. This prakriti is the matter. This mind, which is part of prakriti, that's a big problem. This heart is a big problem. This body is a big problem. Transcend it all with spiritual vision. Divya drishti. How to get. Brahmaji says, Premanjana. We put anjan, kajal, mascara. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Bhakti vilochan. You get a, lochan means eye, but you get a, vilochan means a specialized, a very special, vishesh lochan. A very special eye. The ordinary material eye, 20/20 vision or whatever it may be, that is prakriti drishti, lokik drishti. Seeing matter, not atma. Seeing body, not soul. Seeing country, not God. Black, white, young, old. So this comes when bhakti comes, when devotion, premanjana, that anjana, the ointment, means you have some eye defect or problem with your eye, so you put some ointment or some medicine inside, some drops. It clears your vision. Oh, yes. Removes the disease or whatever the small thing may be. Some dirt gets in your eye, you can't see. So the dirt in our eye is our hankara, our lack of relation with God, the independent identity. Hankara means independent identity, which creates the conception or feeling that I am the controller, I am the doer, I am the owner, I am the possessor, and I am the enjoyer. Ahankara. There's hankara and ahankara. Hankara means eternal true identity, that I am Krishna's servant. Daso smi. Bhagavan daso smi. Jivera, the jiva. Jivera surupaya krishnara nityadas. So this is prem. Bhakti, as one practices bhakti, shravanam kirtan vishnu smaranam, hearing, chanting, serving his ishtadev, Ram or Krishna Vishnu, then drops of ointment are coming in his eye. Bhakti and prem are two steps of the same journey. First there's sadhana bhakti, then there's rag bhakti, then there's bhav bhakti, then prema bhakti. So as soon as one begins sadhana bhakti, shravanam kirtanam smaranam, chanting jap, reading shastra adhyaya, and studying lila and meditating on Krishna Naam, Krishna Roop, Dham, etc., Lila Parikar, then drop by drop, Krishna is applying the drops of prema in the eyes. Prema Anjana Churita Vilochan, Bhakti Vilochan. So the Churita, this coming in the eye, is these drops of prema, because Bhakti Bhajan is prema bhajan. Is a green mango a ripe mango? Is a green mango a ripe mango? The answer is yes. A green mango is a yellow mango. A green mango is a ripe mango. The answer is yes. Huh? Because there's only one fact, there's only one slight difference between green and yellow, pukka and kacha, kacha and pukka. Bitter and sweet. Time. So a green mango, you can say, yes, a green mango is a ripe mango in time. So bhakti, sadhan bhakti, vaidhi sadhan bhakti, raganuga sadhan bhakti, is a green mango of prem. So if you have a green mango of prem, then it can be a long time or a short time. That green mango of prem will be a prema bhakti will be, which is green, will become a ripe mango of prema bhakti. Yellow, a little red, and soft, but slightly firm, but soft, and juicy, and brilliant, yellow, orange, wonderful flower-like fragrance. When you take it, just melts in your tongue and opens up all your chakras. It's a Rajphal, Am. I am the Rajphal. No, wait a minute. I am Am is the mango is the king of fruits, it's told. And anyone who's had one agrees. Then you can shake it up also. You can shake up the mango and it becomes mango shake. So bhakti, so this is seems like a paradox. A green mango, like I tricked you. The teacher sometimes asks tricky questions in school. All my students, is a green mango, this is philosophy, this is logic. So then you can present the argument one way, then another way. So is a green mango a ripe mango? The answer is no. Because the Swarup Lakshana and the Tattvastu Lakshana are different. Anyway, let's not confuse them. But actually, the analogy is Brahmaji is saying in his law book, his tattva, he has one book on tattva siddhanta. What is sambandha abhideya prayojan? What is the material world? What is the maya jagat? What is haridham? What is vaikuntha? What is golok dham? It's called Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita. What does that mean, Samhita? It means it's a really good book. Samhita means it's a very good book. Samhita. Sam means everyone. Hita means benefit. I believe so. Hita means benefit, helpful. It will benefit you to read his Samhita. There's Bhrikkhu Samhita. There's different shastras written by rishis and sages. And this is Adi Rishi, Adi Shishya, Vishnu himself, Brahmaji. His Samhita. It's beneficial for everyone. The beginner, the neophyte, the intermediate, and the adept, or the sadhaka and the siddha. The siddhas relish so much ras in the verses, and the sadhaka gets understanding, tattva siddhanta, encouragement and guidance how to practice properly bhakti sadhan. Brahma Samhita, it's a very famous book. Our Chaitanya, our Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he found this book in South India in one ancient temple 500 years ago, and he hand copied it, one chapter, chapter 5. There's many chapters. This is chapter 5. And this verse is from chapter 5 of Brahma Samhita. Samhita. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksa deva ridiyeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunas rupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. First comes the bhakti and then drops of pre-ointment, then we start to see, oh, I don't see Indian, I don't see man, woman, I don't see young and old, I see jivas, I see consciousness, I don't see bait, I see everyone's a jiva, I see everyone's part of God's creation. Then as more bhakti comes in the eyes, then you see they're all conscious units of love. Every jiva is a conscious unit of love. A minute conscious particle of divine, of infinity, infinite love, ananda shakti. First we see that jiva is sat, oh, aham brahmasmi. And jiva is eternal. Aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am eternal. And then you see the jiva's chit, this jiva's knowing, and he's part of the great all-cognizant creation of the creator, who is all-knowing, the omniscient one. Then as more bhakti comes in the heart, your lochan, premanjana bhakti vilochan, this lochan becomes very special. Then you start to see, no, not only is this jiva sat, eternal, not only is he chit, fully conscious and aware and part of the creation and intention. The jiva is created out of the intention and will and desire of God. For what? Why do we create something? Why do we have something? Why do we possess something or purchase something? To enjoy it. To have it, to love it. So this sat-chit entity, the soul, the atma, jivatma, as he looks deeper, he says, ah, yes, people say God is love. Love is God. Prema is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is Prema. That's nice. It's true. But to realize it, that is divya drishti. That is spirit. That is illumination, spiritual illumination. So as bhakti comes more and more in the heart, and then anjana becomes more and more super saturated with, becomes prema. Then he sees, no, I see eternal particles of consciousness, and it's living consciousness, chaitana, chait. And love lives, and consciousness lives in love. And the supreme consciousness is a loving entity, Lila Purushottam Sri Krishna. And he sees, as he looks and he sees the atmas, he says, yes, they are sat chit anand. Anand. Love, joy, bliss. Anand aladani. This is the full blown perfection of self realization. Where you see, where one sees every jivatma, whether the jivatma is in a dog's body, or a bird's body, or a fish, or a tree, or a lata, or even spread throughout the ground and in the molecules and all the people. He sees that they're all loving particles of God. Mameyavamsho jiva loke jiva bhutta sanatana mana shastrani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. They're part of me. And God is love. Love is God. So my part, I'm skin and bones, and my parts are skin and bones. But God is not skin and bones. He's Satchitananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam Sarvakarna Karanam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this is Premanjana. One sees love everywhere because love is Chaitana. Love is a quality of life. Love is an attribute. Love is an expression. Love is a feeling. Of wherever there's jiva, there's a potential to love. So when one evolves his consciousness and expands his vision to be premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, Then he sees everywhere particles of love. Let me love the dog. Let me love the trees, everything. I come from Christian background. So we had a great saint. It's Francis. Saint Francis. He lived about 500 years ago, the same time as so many great saints of India. I believe Tukaram. Tukaram was living 5,000 years ago. And Guru Gobind Singh, Asant Tulsidas, and the great saint Mirabai, Rani, and so many you know better than I. But I know that the great saint that lived 500 years ago was Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not just a saint. Radha and Krishna came to this planet. So they were spreading and showing this vision. So Saint Francis was in that same Melu. He was in the same time. And he wrote about his visions. He wrote about his Divya Drishti, what he realized, what he saw by the grace of God. As Saint Francis, as his eyes, his ak became premak. His eye became full of prem and love. And he says, I see everywhere my father's love. My father's above, and he's made of love. And everything below is an expression of his love. And I am meant to love him, and he's always loving me, and I see his love everywhere. And he is the father, and I am a son. I am the son of God, a loving God, not a condemning God or a punishing God or a creative God or a destructive God or a God of justice. He's a God of love, infinite divine love, sweet love, all-encompassing love, all-fulfilling love, responsible love. Some people love, but they're irresponsible. Love me today, leave me tomorrow. He's a responsible lover forever, taking responsibility for my love and for my sojourn in this world. Then he started to see, oh, the Father is one personality. Father means personality. He's not one Brahman, Brahma Suyuja, this Brahman. He's one person, divine, supreme personality of God, Bhagavan. And he's the abode and the origin of all love. And his whole creation is an expression of love. And I am part of that love, and I am part of him, and I'm a creation of his love. And all these birds and the trees, they're all my brothers, and we're in the same family of love, God's family of love and prem. So then he addressed them all. Oh, brother tree, my brother, let us love the Lord. Let us love our Father together. And he would embrace the trees, and he'd water the trees, and he'd brush off the dust from their leaves and water them. He said, oh, brother sky, you're all around me. You're such a beautiful brother. Oh, brother sky, we say calm by. Everywhere, I couldn't have a better brother than you because I feel your loving embrace. Everywhere you embrace me from all sides, the hawa, the air is there. I said, brother bird, you're loving my Lord. You're loving the Father so nicely because they're singing such sweet songs. And we're feeling your love and we hear your songs and we can feel your love being expressed for the Father. This is spiritual vision, not Indian American. Religious denominations, country designations, ungraze, glaze. You know, there's glazed donuts and then there's ungraze. Are you glazed or are you ungrazed? Ungrazed. I know it's ungrazy. Sounds like glazed donuts. Glazed donuts have a sugar coating on them when you bake them. There's a plain donut and a glazed donut. You know the difference? So a glazed donut is called inglazy. No. At any rate, this is spiritual vision. Trishtva kamudvantam. So when Krishna leaves the forest, they feel separation because the creatures are personal and they love Krishna. The deer love Krishna. If you love someone, if you love your friend or your mother or your wife, and surely you do, if you're separated from them or they leave you abruptly due to whatever, do you feel, if they leave you and you don't associate or receive them, do you feel sad? Yes. Do you feel some torment or some anguish of separation? Yes. So cows can't feel separation from Krishna. Deer can't feel separation. Even a dog can feel separation. So when Krishna left the forest, then they became unhappy. And then that evening, when he entered the forest, the presence of Krishna on the earth, when Krishna re-enters the forest in the evening, Pradosh Kal and Nisha Kal, from 8:30, 9 o'clock at night up until 2, 3 throughout the night with the gopis, then the whole forest bursts with joy. That's why flowers blossom at midnight. Usually flowers never blossom anywhere in the nighttime. Practically none. Most beautiful, gentle, attractive, and fragrant flower, the komudi, or komodaki, kumud, blossom because of the moon? No, because of Krishna. Kumud. When Krishna appeared on the earth, when Krishna appeared in the forest of Vrindavan after long absence of so many hours, he left at 3 in the afternoon, he came back at 10 o'clock at night. Long time. Then the forest was happy. Kumud, ku, the earth. The earth was crying with joy. It said that Mother Bhumi was actually trembling. When Krishna started to step on the van, Vrindavan van, then as someone in love may tremble from divine, from loving ecstasy, their body may tremble, sattvic vikara, due to the thrill and joy of love. So just imagine the thrill and joy of Mother Bhumi when her lover, her beloved, her nayak, Krishna, is walking with his padmacharan, his lotus feet. She's, oh, I'm so thrilled. Bhumi Mata, Bhumi is a devi. Krishna is a dev. She's a nayaka. He's a nayak. This is brought, Krishna's loving everything and he's spreading his love everywhere and receiving love from all, everything's expansion of God. And we're selfish. We're keeping our love for ourselves. God is loving us at every moment. We're saying, I have no time, I'm very busy, don't bother me. Yet he still loves us. He digests our food, he gives us fruits and vegetables, sunlight, air, everything without restraint. And doesn't ask anything because love doesn't ask. Love creates. So you don't have to ask your beloved for something. Can you do something for me? That's all that lover does for the beloved, is doing things for the beloved. Where there's love, there's no dictation. Where there's love, it's a free flow of blissful sensation. The exchange of love. The Krishna is showing that, so that Tristva kamud vantam akanda mandalam. When the forest saw that akanda mandalam, that beautiful, unbroken, blissful, loving face of Krishna, when he entered the forest, and ku, the earth became muda, very happy. And when the earth became happy, the trees became happy. How did the trees express their loving ecstasy? Tristva kamud vantam akanda mandalam. Ramanana abham navakun kumarunam vanam chatat komala gobi ranjitam chagokalam vamadrisham manoharam. 10 canto, chapter 29, verse 3. So he added this one point about kumud, that Krishna, the presence of the moon, the udipan, for this raslila, is the presence of the external understanding, adi Bhautika vichar, the elements of the verse, the elements of the story, the storyline, the place, the time, the setting is moon. Now it was Malika flowers. Now it's flower. Was Malika, in the previous verse, it was jasmines, Malika flowers blossoming 3 months out of season, not in May, but in September, May, June, July, so many months. And that's unusual. That's due to the moon's presence or Krishna's presence. Krishna's presence, intoxicating, romantically inspiring Saurabh or Sauganda, fragrance. Now, another astounding, you can say, Ashcharya Vichar, Ashcharya Gun. This is the Ashcharya Gun of Brajadham. First, Malika's blossoming out of season, it never happens, never did happen, never will happen again. Second amazing thing is, lotus flower blossoming in the moonshine. Because when the sun rises, what happens? All the lotuses blossom and open. When the sun sets, so he's a friend. So now we have a lotus that's blossoming in the moonshine. Again, it's because of Krishna Chandra. Now he wants that. Has so much symbology and represents so much. So Drishva Kamudvantam, when he saw that gori, the fair white petals of that Komodaki, that beautiful expanse of lotus, naturally he was present on the earth. Krishna standing on the earth next to Yamuna, and he sees that Kumud full, and then he feels Kumud. He's standing on the earth, Ku, and he sees that flower, Muda. Why does he become happy to see a flower? Is it his favorite flower? It may be. But actually Krishna has one favorite flower. It's a golden lotus, a Sona Padma. And it's not growing in the Yamuna, it's on Radharani. Radharani's Mukha is called Sona Padma Mukha. Her face is a golden lotus flower. So when Krishna sees that white lotus flower, which is like Gauri Sham, Radharani, then he thinks, oh yes, I'm very Muda. I'm standing on the Ku, Trisvakamudvantam. I'm standing on the Ku on the earth, on Bhumi, and I'm glancing at Yamuna. Oh, that's nice. I'm here at midnight, and you're here at midnight. I'm the Akanda Mandalam. I'm the unbroken moon of eternal love. The Akanda Mandalam. Akanda Mandalam. No break. And mandala means circle. I am the full moon lighting up the world. I am the pure light of consciousness. I am the pure light of love. I am the soothing light of love and the healing light of sun. That is me, the sun and the moon. The sun is my eye. The moon is my eye. So I glance at the lotus flower, Krishna, Bhagavan, and he sees, and then he's standing on the Ku and he feels Mudha. So the Kumud gives Krishna Kumud. The Kumud full makes Krishna Kumud. Kumud full is a white lotus because he sees a flower and becomes happy because it's an Udipan, a stimulant and excitant to remind him of the golden lotus flower of his Priyaji's face, Priyaji Radha. And he's seeing that flower and thinking, it's midnight, lotuses never blossom at midnight. My Radharani has never come out to meet me at midnight. I see her in the daytime when I pass with the cows and the boys. I never met her at midnight. This is the first meeting, Purvarag. But now I'm seeing that lotus flower and I'm inspired. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling my being here in the forest next to this banyan tree at Vamshivat. It will be successful. Now, my ally, my eternal ally, Vamshi, Vansurigan. Krishna starts playing the flute. Then what happens? Vamadrisham, Vamadrisham, Manoharam, Vamadrisham, Radha, Vamadrisham, Lalita, Ashtasakhi, Manoharam, Vanadrisham, Manoharam. Those beautiful gopis with charming eyes, enticing eyes, captivating eyes, enchanting eyes, Vamadrisham. They themselves, just with a sidelong glance, with the arrow, the bana of their ak, drawn on the bow of their eyebrows. This is Cupid's bow. And they shoot the arrow of their eyes. Then that's enough to finish anyone. Women have that power, that intoxicating power, as men probably know. When a woman glances at you with desire or interest, you are finished. If you're looking at her. Arjuna had arrows. Draupadi had beautiful eyes. Draupadi won Arjuna with her eyes. And Arjuna won Draupadi with his bow, his Gandiva. So who's more powerful, Arjuna's bow, Gandiva, or Draupadi's bow-like loving eyes? He didn't come for the Swayamvara because he wasn't attracted. Do you go to some Swayamvara because, oh, that girl's ugly, I'm not going there. The greatest, most virtuous, handsome, dashing kings and heroes in India went for her hand because she was ugly? No way. She was unbelievable, like Lakshmi herself, Draupadi. Miss Universe. So that's the irony here, that they are so powerful, but they're Manoharam. Shukamuni says, Manoharam, their minds became stolen, became enchanted by the eyes of Krishna? No, They had not even seen him. The Kanyakumaris who were first meeting him after he stole their clothes, a year later, he met them on this Maharas night. They had seen him, but this night they were not seeing him glancing seductively or invitingly at them. But they heard just by his flute playing. A woman can entice and attract a man or seduce a man with her glance. But can she play the cello? If she plays the cello or she plays a violin, will a man get excited? I doubt it. I really doubt it. But she doesn't play any instrument. She just looks at him and plays with his mind. She plays with the instrumentals of his mind. And he goes crazy, becomes attached. Driven. I must meet that woman. I must have that woman. So Krishna played his flute. See the power of seduction. See the power of attraction. That's not a vansuri. It's not a vamshi or murali or flute. It's a Krishna ka vansuri. Krishna ka vamshi. It's the flute of Krishna. Bhagavan. Gopinath. The flute. We say, oh, that's so-and-so's flute, or that's Garanga's flute. Garanga's playing the flute, Garanga Das. But he is one, the flute player is one, and the flute is another. They're two. But when Krishna plays his flute, that bansuri is Sakshad Krishna. The bansuri, or the vamshi, is Sakshad Krishna, directly fully Bhagavan, at that time, when he uses it. For this purpose. At that time, the Vamshi, or let's say Bansuri, is Premamayi, Madhurya Premamayi Bhagavan. Madhurya Purushottam, Krishna. So the flute, the Vansi, or the Bansuri, takes all the Lakshana, characteristics and gun, qualities of Bhagavan. So Krishna is called Krishna because Krishna means Krish, or Krish means Karshan, Karshan. And na, Krishna, na, means anand. So Krishna's attraction creates bliss. In English, the word Krishna, we say Hare Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. Like a magnet. Does a magnet only attract a part of the iron filing? It attracts the complete pieces of iron. Oh, part of it will go to the magnet. No, the whole thing, chumbak. Chumbak, magnet. They get completely stuck. Whatever the particle is there of the magnet, I mean the iron filing, we say small bit part, like a staple. You have staples? In the office you have staples, what do you call staples? Not staples. Those things you put papers together with. Paper clips. You have a paper clip and you have a magnet. Boing. The whole thing gets stuck. So Krishna, that's what Karshan means. Your whole thing gets stuck. Krishna means stickability, Karshan, chumbak, magnet, that he's all attractive, just like the magnet is all stickable. The paper clip becomes fully stuck. And it's a very powerful magnet. You can't remove that paper clip from the magnet. The bondage of attraction is so cemented and so tight, it's impossible. You need some pliers or something. It gets so stuck. The power, that magnet is just gripping onto that clip and won't let go. That's Krishna. If we become attracted to Krishna, because Krishna means attraction, the word Karshan or Krish means pulling, compelling, attracting, bringing something to him, and then getting so stuck you can't get off. You can't, there's nothing that can remove you. My Gurudev once was asked by a Christian priest in America, Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, in our Christian theology, we have God, the Father, and we have the Son, Jesus, and we have an entity called the Holy Ghost. A shud boot, I don't know. pavitra boot. The Holy Ghost, this is Christianity. We call this the Holy Trinity, the triad, the three. God the Father and God the Son, the Savior Bhagavan, then the Sevak Bhagavan. Sevak Bhagavan, Jesus. Savior Bhagavan, God the Father. Adonai, Adonai, Jehovah, Yahweh, or Allah, or Krishna, or Ram. The absolute truth. Different names, different cultures. Greece, Adonai, Jehovah, the Jews, and like this. So we have the Holy Ghost. So when you're a Krishna consciousness and you're Bhakti Yoga, Sanatana Dharma, do you have any equivalent of the Holy Ghost? And my Gurudev said, what do you mean by Holy Ghost? Because we are from India. We don't consider pishachas and kacharis and boots. They're not usually very much appreciated. They're not usually very much welcome. And we don't consider them holy at all. Right? So what do you mean by the Holy Ghost? And then this Christian priest said, this means the spirit, the spirit of God that lives within a serious Christian. He's not the son, but he's carrying the spirit of God. He's a good Christian, Holy Ghost. Prabhupada said, and when that spirit, that Holy Ghost, it's like a spirit, that energy, that presence is in the good Christian's heart, or wherever he goes, he feels the presence of the good angel and the Holy Spirit. And so Prabhupada said, yes, yes, yes. We have the same Trinity in Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada had a way of making it all very homogenized. He said, yes, in Krishna consciousness, and this is Bhakti Yoga, Radha Krishna Yugal Upasana. Radha Krishna Yugal Upasana Yoga. We worship Radha and Krishna as our Ishtadeva. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Taniya Srimad Sridam Vrindavanam Ramya Kachiru Pasana Brajabudu Vir. So it's like this. So he said, yes, we have God the Father, Ramchandra, Vishnu, and our Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's our Father. Pitamaha, he's the Father of all Fathers. He says in Gita, 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, verse 26. Sarva yonasya kaunteya murtiya sambhavantiya tasmad brahma jonir aham bija pradapita. 14:26 Gita. Krishna is telling Arjuna, aham bija pradapita. Aham, Arjuna, I, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. I am the sarva pita of everyone. Aham bijam, I am the seed, I am that seed, I am the atmas. I am the atmas spread within all life, that is in my expansions. Hambija prada pita. Hambija prada pita. I place the seed of life in everyone. That is me, light, Chaitanya. Satchit anand, minute, anor, atomic particle of me, living consciousness. Chaitanya, chit, living consciousness, prem chit, ananda chit, anand. Anand means loving consciousness. We exist. We act and we love. We exist to act in the service of God. That is the purpose of the jiva. Chit, existence. Movement, action. And then means sat, existence. And chit means movement, consciousness. Consciousness moves, interacts, plays, sings, dances. And when that consciousness is connected with Krishna, it's called Krishna consciousness. Sat, chit, Krishna consciousness. And that Krishna consciousness is hearing, chanting, remembering, serving Krishna, produces love, bliss, transcendental bliss. That's called anand, Satchit anand. So we have God the Father, Satchit ananda Swayam Bhagavan, and then we have God the Son. God the Son are the Mahajans and the pure devotees, and any Shuddha Bhakt, Premi Bhakta, Ram Bhakt, Krishna Bhakt, they are sons of God. If you said Jesus is the Son of God and he's Guru, why is he Guru? Because he's pure. Why is he pure? Because he's fully God conscious. And what does he do when he's fully God conscious? He loves God, serves God, and tells other people to love God and serve God. So you have your Jesus. We have so many sons of God. You said God is a Father. We're all sons of God, and we surrender to him, and then we serve him with love and become pure, and then we live with him eternally. So the priest said, okay, that's fine. You have the Father and the Son. Well, what about the Holy Ghost to make the Trinity? Yes, we have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra gets inside of you, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, it never ever comes out. Now, you go here or there, up or down, everywhere you go, the mantra will be in your mind, it will be in your heart, in your lips. It will never leave you. Impossible. Because that Maha Mantra is God, Krishna. So this is what he was saying that about this point. So this Kamud Vantam is a very vast meaning here. So the earth becomes joyous when Krishna re-enters the forest, and he becomes, the earth, Ku, is becoming muda, happy. The earth means Brajabhumi, Brajabhumi, Brajabhumi Devi, Vrindavan, Brinda Devi, the forest, Brinda Devi, the Devis of the, there's so many Devis and forest goddesses that take care of everything for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So they all became so happy, and the trees are showing their loving ecstasy by crying. How do they cry? There's beehives, Madhukar, Gar, the beehives where all the honey is stored. Honey starts trickling down the branches and trunks of the trees when Krishna re-enters the forest at 9 o'clock at night to later meet the gopis. This is the sweet, thick tears of the trees crying in ecstasy. Mood, kumud, feeling the presence of Krishna re-enter the forest. And then the leaves on the trees, they start trembling. One of the septic vikars, ashru, trembling, romancha. They start trembling. Then the lata wrapped around the kadamba trees and tamal trees, the lata. They have tiny, tiny little hairs on their stems. Little tiny hairs, like we have hairs on our arm or whatever. Little tiny hairs. And they're usually sitting like this. Then when Krishna enters and he walks through the forest and he says, "Hey, Madhavi. Hey, Madhavi. Kaisa hai? Kaisa ho?" He says, "Hey, Madhavi Lata. How are you?" And he touches her. "You're okay, Madhavi. Madhavi, Lata's a female, Madhavi. There's also Madhavi Saki." He says, "Madhavi, you fine?" And Madhavi, "He touched me. Sham, I was feeling so much separation. I was so, my hairs in my body were just like this. He's come back to the forest. Now I'm feeling union, sambho, with my beloved Lord, Sham." So Krishna said, "Hey, Madhavi, fine? Hey, Malati, Malati Lata, fine?" And they shiver with delight, and the hairs on their little stems stand erect. Romancha Kampa Ashu. This is described. Govinda Lilamrita and other Shastras. So Kumud, the earth, and every, the earth doesn't mean a piece of dirt. Oh, Kumud, mood. The earth is happy, so the earth particles are dancing. It means the earth, Brajabhumi, Vrindavan Devi, personified earth, the Devi of the earth, the Devi of Vrindavan forest, the Vaan, and everything on the earth. If you have a good king in a country, very virtuous, charitable, powerful, strong, religious king, then the whole kingdom thrives and flourishes. The trees are happy, the animals are happy and protected, and the rivers flow purely and without contamination. And there's all law and order, no terrorism and gundas and all these things. A powerful king, finish them. So you see, the presence of one king in a kingdom will make everything wonderful. So when we say, Kumud, the earth became joyful, when Krishna re-entered the forest at night, the earth and everything on the earth became joyful, happy. Happy is one, we say Anand. There's happiness, Anand. I feel satisfied, I feel peaceful, I'm happy, I feel content. And very, very happy, very joyful, happy. But are you experiencing Premanand? There's Sukhanand, Brahmanand, and Premanand. Indriya Sukhanand, Swarga Sukhanand. It's all Indriya, it's all Deha, Shariranand. Then there's Brahmanand, Atmanand, the bliss of realizing the oneness of consciousness. I am consciousness, and there's consciousness everywhere, and I will merge into that infinity of consciousness, Brahma Sujamukti, and live forever bathing in the light of consciousness and unlimited eternal bliss, like sleeping forever in deep slumber. That's called Brahmanand. And people like that, and it appeals to them, and there's a path. Ramasuja Mukti Marg. But then there's Bhakti Marg. Bhakti, love, divine love. And that brings one to Premanand. So Krishna and all his relations in Vrindavan, they're all existing in Premanand. So he's touching and all these ecstasies are there. So the presence of Krishna, Krishna re-entering the forest after 9 long hours of viraha, separation. And the hares and the creepers are like this. And the deer were just walking, standing like this. And the birds had stopped singing. And the river Yamuna was going very slow and meandering. And there was no honey trickling from the trees. And everything was very much feeling the torment of separation from Krishna. And when he came back in, mood kumud. When he reappeared, his presence in the forest on that Rasa Purnima night, the whole forest became joyful. The creatures, the earth itself, the sky, the air, everything. This is Kumud. Jusva Kumud Vantam Akanda Mandalam. There's one prayer, we're reading some Prarthana, Stuti, Bhagavat Stuti, before the class. And most of the prayers, they come from the Bhagavat Mahatmyam. Bhagavat Mahatmyam chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bharata Skanda, 12th canto. You can see, I think the footnote is there in the book. It tells the entry, right? Where it's from. Then the last 5 or 6 verses, which we recite every day, they're spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. So in those prayers, he explains, he says, this Bhagavatam, Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, Vibhu Sarvashraya, Vibhu, this Bhagavatam appears to be a paramartic pushtak, religious scripture. But it's actually Krishna himself. Sakshat Radha, Sakshat Krishna, Sakshat Vrindavan, Sakshat Mahabhav, and Prema, Krishna Prema, there, appearing like a kitab or a pushtak or book, a holy book. It's called Grantharaj. We have Grant, the Granth Sahib. And the Acharyas say that there's so many Grants or holy books, scriptures. But the Bhagavat Puran is called Grantharaj. We often say in the Vaishnav Rajya Sabha. All the Vaishnavas say, in great elation they say, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, the key, Grantharaj, the king of all grunts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, this Bhagavat is Tulya, equal to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Book Bhagavat, Krishna Bhagavat, one Bhagavat. Then he says that Vibhu, this Bhagavatam, all these 18,000 shlokas have all the power of God. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasasya shriya. Then says prati shloke prati akshare. Prati, every single shlok and every single syllable. And we say kumudvantam, kumudvantam, kumudadvantam. That's drishtva. Manoharam. Manoharam. These are called akshar, syllables. He says, prati shloke prati akshari nana artakai. Arta. Arta. Meanings. We say art. Dharmart kamoksh. I want to do religion. I get some material development, money. Then I can get my objective. I can get some meaning in my life or get what means something that means something to me. Now I can purchase it. Dharm, art, kam, like this, and satisfy myself. So art means meanings, means objectives, goals, fruits, attainments. So Mahaprabhu is saying nana artakai. That means various, many, nana, right? Nana shastra vichara naika nipano sadgoswami prarthana. Nana shastra vichara. Nana shastra vichar. They read, studied, considered, weighed, balanced, and selected various shastras to support and substantiate the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, the foundation, Sambandha Tattva. Various Puran Upanishads. So Nana Artakai, Mahaprabhu is saying in every shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam and every syllable of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course every word, there are nana, unlimited meanings. My Gurudev Srila Prabhupada, he said, we should study the Bhagavatam and we should speak on each verse of the Bhagavatam from all angles of vision. So how many angles of vision are there? Well, there's 360 degrees in a circle, and our eyes are circular. So that we can say 360 different meanings for every akshar, 360 meanings for every shloka. I wish we could. Every shloka is endless. Is Krishna infinite? Yes. Is Krishna endless love? Yes. Is Krishna endless meaning? Yes. Is Krishna endless fulfillment and joy? Yes. So that means prati shloke prati akshari has all those qualities of Krishna. Endless meanings, endless joy, endless love, endless fulfillment. So then we go back. Drishtva kamudvantam akandamandalam. It's sound, it's Sanskrit, shloke, akshari, and art. What type of art? Jivart, paramart, paramartic. You ever heard this term? There's art and paramartic. Usually they say paramartic goshala, or no, vidyalaya, or paramartic dharmashala. In Badrinath, I stayed one place, I stayed a week over there in Badrinath years ago. It was called paramartic dharmashala. I said, well, that's the place for me. Paramartic means supreme, param art means a place for a religious hotel or whatever. Dharmashala. A shelter of Dharma. It's already, Dharmashala means that. So paramartic means paramartic grunt. You've heard this term? Like magazines and sports magazines are not paramartic grunts. Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranas, Gita, like this. So paramartic means it's the highest value, the topmost objective, most greatest meaning for the human being. So this is the Bhagavatam, paramartic. So we might say, oh, we're spending 3 days, 6 hours on one word. Why not? What else do you have to do? Watch TV? You're watching TV now. But this is a paramartic show, not a show to satisfy our ordinary needs and wants. This is a show to satisfy the hankering of the soul. This is a telecast, or must say, this is a broadcast to nourish love in the heart. This is a broadcast to offer everyone an opportunity to dance eternally in the circle of love with Krishna. Let's examine this from some different angles, at least a few degrees. This word, this term, these two words, akandamandalam. Akandamandalam. Drishtva kamudvantam akandamandalam. Akandamandalam means, akanda means no kanda, no break, unbroken. Unbroken means the only thing that's unbroken is God and the soul. Everything else breaks. The soul never breaks. It's told in Bhagavad Gita. You cannot break the soul. The soul cannot be, the Atma cannot be withered by the wind, moistened by the water, burned by the fire, broken by the weapon. These are the guna, lakshana of the Atma. Body is broken, withered, all these things. Anything material suffers these changes. So akanda means no break. That means transcendental. Everything breaks. Sometimes we have what we call station break. The show breaks, and then you have some advertisements. We say station break in America. So this is, but it's Atma. So we say akanda. When you say akanda, we have akanda kirtan, akanda bhagavatpat, akanda deep. You've heard this term. There's some mandir or some gar, some Thakurji gar in your house. Akanda deep. Your grandmother's been keeping this deepam, this ghee lamp burning. And in some temples, they have 300-year-old akanda deep. In South India, 500 years, still burning. I mean, they're supplying, obviously. When you go to Badrinath, it's very amazing, extraordinary. And Badrinath in Himalayas, there's one forearm deity of Vishnu, Badri Vishal, Badrinath. The Chardam, Badrinath. Badrinath Vishnu. And the Pujaris, the Nambru, it's a branch of Shankaracharya. They're all Shankaracharya established. It's called Nambru. Nambru Brahmins, which they come from South India. It's not Nimbark. They were this kind of deal. It's because Adi Shankaracharya established these holy Chardams and for as yatras and places. So all those Brahmins, Nambru, I think it's Nambru, Brahmins do the puja throughout the year, and then it becomes too impossible to do puja. Heavy snow everywhere, you know, snowed under. The whole temple is covered with snow. And when they leave, they offer the last artik and they put Thakurji to rest, and then they clean the temple and they lock it, and that's that. It's impossible to do puja. But what happens is, because Thakurji puja is also akanda, I'm worshiping my great-grandfather's deity of Radha and Krishna. This deity has been in our family for 250 years. You meet people like that. It's my grandmother's deity she got from her grandmother. So that's akanda Thakurji puja. It started sometime, but it keeps going on. So the puja of Thakurji, because he's akanda, he's eternal, it goes on eternally. So Badrinath, they close the temple in September or so. September, October, November, December, January. Opens again in May. It's only open 4 or 5 months for darshan and puja. And everything's snow and impossible to live there or do any bhajan there unless you're some kind of yogi or something. So when they come back and they open all the padlocks and 100 keys and 100 padlocks, all these temples have so many locks, it must be seen. And this door and that door, they go inside, they find a plate with a bhog on it and tulsi. And they find a artik lamp with Pancha Pradeep. It's still burning with some, an artik was just finished. And there's all fresh flower garlands on the deity. This is magic. This is ashcharya, chamatkar. Wonderful, amazing. Astounding. It's astonishing. Ashcharya. Even sounds like astonishing. Astonishing is ashcharya. Is it right? That's the trend. You have adbhut, you have chamatkar. You ask some Indian, what's the difference between adbhut, ashcharya, and chamatkar? They're all kind of the same. Amazing and astonishing and wondrous. They try their best to convey it. But this is really ashcharya, vichar. Amazing event, astonishing event. Locked up, temples covered with snow, 40 degrees below zero, winds blowing everywhere. Fresh flowers, fresh bhog. And they say these are all demigods come, the devas come. The devas come and do puja for 6 or 8 months. Every day artik, every day bhog. This is what is told. So this is akanda puja. So akanda mandalam is the next phrase we're discussing. Akanda mandalam. Because remember, this is a love story, a divine love story of Radha and Krishna. And every verse of this love story is about love. The lover and the beloved. Where did the love story take place? What time was the love story? What season? What were the events and surroundings? So it's all continuous. It's a play. It's a drama. Leela. Act one, act two, scene one, scene two. So every verse is connected to the whole. As I gave the analogy of puzzle pieces. You have a puzzle, it's cut this way, that way. You throw it on the floor, then you piece it back, and everything fits nicely to convey some depiction of a country, the states in a country, or whatever they have puzzles of. Maybe if it's for children, they have puzzle pieces of the human body. They have a puzzle of the human body, a leg and an arm or something. It says leg and they put it together and disembody the puzzle, disembody the body, like this. So now, this every verse is part of the love puzzle, the love story puzzle, and it's connected. So each word, the words are all connected to Ras Lila, the words are all connected to the Nayak, Sri Krishna, the words are all connected to the Nayaka, Srimati Radharani, and they're all connected to Madhurya Prem, and they're full of Ras. Each word is full of ras. This is ras lila. Drisva kamudvantam akandamandalam. Akandamandalam, initially, firstly, it's a symbol of the rasa dance itself. This is the, in poetry, in music, in drama, there's alliteration, there's foreshadowing, there's flashback, there's metaphor, there's analogy, there's imagery, there's flow, meter, chandas, so many combination of elements of music and poetry and balance and imagery and emotion blended together to make a love story or to make a fine piece of music or a drama. So this is the drama. So akandamandalam, mandala means circle, mandala. All the people in Europe and America, they used to get these posters of mandalas. A mandala, all different kind of mandalas, Buddhist mandalas and Japanese and Indian. And they put on the wall and they would take different vitamins and herbs and spices. And then they would look at these mandalas and chant, Om. Om. And they would, red and black was a very popular color combination. And they were supposed to open up your mind and consciousness to different doors of perception, as they say. Go through one door, perceive something. Go through another door, perceive something. It may be a room of a house of horrors. And you open one door, ah! Ooh, close that door. That's not a good door. It's a horror house, a monster house. Let me go through another door of perception. Here's another one. Yeah! Ooh, a witch. You know, a monster. You go through another door and a huge cobra. Good night. Go to sleep. So the door is a perception. So this is the mandala, this circle. So now we have in our mind, we see a mandala, we see a circle. And what is this mandala? What is the subject matter of this verse? The adibhotic consideration, bhotika, bhuta, the elements. Well, we're talking about the moon and flowers blossoming under the moonshine, malika and kumudi. We're talking about the romantic influence of Purnima, full moon, and the reddish color of the full moon reminds beloved of his wife and reminds Krishna of Radharani's face. And all these, it's the elemental consideration in relation to the Udipan and this landscape. And then it's the rasa prema relation between the Nayaka and the Nayaka. And then it's some meaning for us, possibly. And then deeper and deeper meanings of the whole thing. So this is the how the rasic janas, rasic Vaishnavas, they enter deeply through the doors of perception because they have prem drishti. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochana. So they, bhakti vilochan. They have special lochan. It's not money eyes. Some people have money lochan, paisa lochan. Money, they see money everywhere. I can make money here. I can invest here and here and here. Everywhere I can invest. So much is mine today, and so much more will be mine tomorrow. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. My other enemy I'll finish tomorrow. This is called Asura Sampat. And chapter 16, Daivi Asura Sampat, chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita. Ishwaraham aham bhogi, siraham balavan sukhi. This verse, there's another verse in English, which I paraphrase. So they have money eyes. Rupak. Sunil Rupak. Rupi Aksha. Where's the money? Hey, tell me how I can make money. Look, I have money. You're my stockbroker. Now, show me the ways. I want to make more money. So they're looking everywhere to make money. And other people have Kamak. Lusty eyes. Hey, baby. Hey. They're looking everywhere, lusty eyes. Looking for objects of their exploitation. People, ladies, gentlemen, to exploit for their nefarious purposes. So that's lusty eyes, greedy eyes. Then there's envious eyes. You don't know if they're envious or angry, or both. Someone's envious, you can't tell. Are they envious or angry? Or angry and envious? Or envious and angry? Seems like they're both. Their envious made them angry. Because envy is fire, and fire gives you a hot head. And hothead means angry. So envy and anger are both basically brother and sister, and they usually hold hands together. It's very difficult to be envious of someone and not be angry. If someone can pull that off, they're a master yogi or a good fake. Oh, I don't hate that person. I'm just envious of them. I see them. I'm just envious. No, that's a nice person. Usually if you're envious, I'm so envious of that person. I want to... they're not. You want to kill them. Envy means they have something you want, or they're in some position you want to be in, or they have some recognition you don't have. You want to take them out of that place and put yourself there. It means you want to eliminate them. So envy means envy and elimination go together. The ultimate elimination means time for liberation, my friend. The ultimate elimination means liberation. It's time to go. And you can figure out what that means. So envy goes to such an extent, people can envy someone so far they'll kill them. Or in sixth canto of Bhagavatam, the story of Maharaj Chitraketu. He had hundreds of queens, but somehow he had no son. So some rishis blessed him. You will have a son with this queen. Okay? So they are all queens of the king, and they all have conjugal relationship with the king. They're his wives, lawful wives. And they all have a palace. They all have everything and money, and they're queens and command and power and wealth and beauty. And they have their king, opulent, strong, powerful, victorious. But none of them were able to produce children with the king. So now somehow this queen was favored and a child was produced. His name was Harsh Shok. Interesting name. Because Narada Muni because sometimes we ask the rishis to give a name to our child. Gopal Das or Lalita Dasi. So Narada Muni knows the future. It's Tri Kalagya. He knows. So he knew that this child will give Harsh, like any child. They'll give Harsh and they'll give Shok. Harsh means happiness, joy. And Shok means lamentation, unhappiness, dukkha. He says, you should name your child Harsh Shok. Right? Harsh Shok. Harsh Shok. Raj, or no, Yuvaraj. So he didn't pay much attention to that. He was so young. So he got a son. And the son's crawling and doing what little babies do. Then all the other queens got together. Hey, this queen had a son. We didn't have a son. I'm very envious of this. I feel very envious of this queen. Why didn't we get a son? Now he's favoring us. I mean, he's favoring her, ignoring us. Just because she gave him a son. It's not our fault, whatever. So then they get together and say, listen, I think we should send the queen somewhere else. So then they said, yes, who wants to do it? Who's most envious? I'm really envious of that queen. That should be my son. And the king should be favoring me. I'll do the necessary. So then they give her, here's a little strychnine, okay? She says, yes. The queen that did, on behalf of the envious queen, on behalf of the other envious queens, killed the Yuvaraj of the king, her husband, since sixth canto of Bhagavatam, 5,000 years ago. Envy leads to elimination. E for envy, E for elimination. So how can there not be anger if there's envy? See the story? I said, if there's envy, there must be. No, I'm envious. I'm not angry. Good acting. Very good acting. You can fool some of the people some of the time. But you can't fool sadhus any time. On Amavasya, do you see the Akanda Mandalam of the moon? You don't see the moon. Well, to speak of the circle. When you see that crescent moon like on Shiva's head, do you see the mandalam, the full circle of the moon? No. So this is describing the full moon. We could say Purna Chandra. But if you say Purna Chandra in this verse, that you cannot connect that to the Ras Mandala. So Shukadeva Goswami is very deliberate in his choice of words. He can say Purna Chandra, Purnima. But he specifically chose, like there's five names in Hindi. You can, okay, tell me a Hindi name for love. Well, you say Pyar and Bhav and Prem. So many things you may say. It's what we consider the same entity. So this is the poetic, beautiful way, Akanda Mandalam, because this describes, yes, the full moon, indicates it's full moon, and it's complete and it's unbroken, and also is a symbol for the rasa dance. The rasa dance is a mandala. You've heard rasa mandala, rasa mandala. It's a circle. And it's a circular dance. They're dancing in a circle. You can have a circle and not dance in a circle. Right? You can be in a circle and dance forward and back and jump up and down. Dance for the rasa. The mandala is round and everyone's going around and around Krishna. So it's a symbol for the rasa mandala. So it's a preview of upcoming events. We have in verse 2, so far we have the hero, and we have some metaphors in verse 1 and 2 about the hero. Krishna appears, and beautiful flowers and full moon. And then there's some analogy which brings together the idea of conjugal love. It's still the moon, and still only Krishna, no heroine, no gopis. It's just the moon, and some red color. And all of a sudden, and then there's a direction called east. And all of a sudden, Shukadeva says, it's not the moon, it's the king of the stars, Uttaraj. It's not the eastern direction, it's Indrakapatni. It's not just a reddish moon. Oh, the moon is reddish. No, with the karai, with his hands, Aruna Vilimpan, with the hand, with his rays, karai, his hands are rays, the moon is coloring the face of
direction. Oh, that's just like, so that's already. Firstly, that establishes Parakya Bhav. That analogy in verse 2, Parakya Bhav. One man who's married, the Chandradev, has 27 wives and nakshatras. He's interacting with somebody else's wife. If a man is married and he interacts with someone else's wife, that's called Parakya, paramour love, illicit love. So Moon God is doing that with Indra's wife. You see, Shukadeva Goswami. So that's foreshadowing that there's somebody named Krishna, Bhagavan, that's been introduced, that maybe, but we don't know yet. We only know about a moon and a reddish moon, an eastern direction. And this is a metaphor that's used by Shukadeva Goswami in the indirect meaning of the words and Acharya's review. And then he brings it out very clearly. It's just like, see, it's so beautiful in verse 2. The whole rasa is there, the whole Krishna is there, everything. We covered it. Just like, first of all, the first phrase of the verse 10:2 establishes that Parakya Bhav is okay. I'm the king of the moon, and I'm playing with Indra's wife. So you're the king of the cowherd men. You're the king of the cowherds. You're Goshtaraj. You're Krishna. You're king of everyone, king of all kings, Deva Jagatpate. You're the control. All these gopis are your parts and parcels. But anyway, it's appearing in Lokik Leela, Nara Leela. They're married to someone else. So it's okay. You can play with them. You can color. You can, like, I'm Chandradev, and you're in Chandravamsh, and I'm coloring the faces of another man's wife. You can do it too. I'm doing it at midnight. You do it too at midnight. Get some wives of other men and color their faces with kunkum. They'll look so pretty. You'll feel so excited. So that's what the moon god is saying. And that first part. Then the second part of the verse, he brings in the idea of sambhog viraha, prem milan. And prem vira, separation. Because that red color on the full moon of Shard Purnima, it's like, first he talks about Parakya Bhav with Chandradev and Indra's wife, then he talks about Swakya Bhav. So, is a Rasleela, is something hidden here? Is a Rasleela Parakya and illicit, or is the Rasleela Swakya, married husband and wife, and fully legitimate? Because the next part of the analogy says, this is verse 2, a little flashback, because I said foreshadowing flashback. So even our classes are like dramatic, because they're flashback foreshadowing, because the verses are like that. So now in the next half of the verse, he says, it's just like a Priya Priyaya, Dirga Darshan, Priya Priyaya, Dirga Darshan, Dirga. It's after a husband who has not seen his wife for a long time in China, in business, or wherever. It's been 2 weeks or a month. When he comes back home to meet his wife, a lawfully married husband and wife, he's happy, he's overjoyed. So in old days, when this type of emotions and intimacies were there and personal exchanges with people, then it was apparently the tradition that the husband, because kunkum and sindoor and bindu, all these things were the marks of a Hindu married woman. or Vedic woman, cultured woman. So then he would take this kunkum and gently rub on his wife's cheeks. So that analogy is there in verse 2. So now in that verse 2, we find out there's a male and there's a female. There's a nayak and a nayaka. There's a nagar and a nagari. And there's a husband and a wife. Because first, in the first verse, ta-da, Bhagavan. Just Krishna's on the stage. He comes out to the stage. The full moon. The flowers. Ah, my mind is feeling romantic. Viksha. Viksha rantam. Viksha rantam manashchakre. Viksha, iksha. I'm seeing these things. I'm smelling these flowers. Rantam manashchakre. My mind is turning towards love. Rantam rati. So that's left, and then, well, who's he going to love? The moon? The flowers? The Malika flowers? No, he's going to love a gopi named Malika. There's also one gopi named Malika. And there's also another gopi named Purnima. Oh. So even in the first verse, the heroine is there, but it's Paroksha, it's hidden. Purnima is a gopi. Malika is a gopi. There's thousands of gopis in the Rastas, not only Ashtasakis. Ashtasaki Shiromani Shirata. Ashtasaki Shiromani, she's a crest jewel, Srimati Radharani. But there's not only eight, but then there's Chandravali and her eight, and their eight, and their eight. Chandravali is 64, and Radharani is 64. Mandri, Sakis, expansions. And thousands. And Sadhana Siddhas, Nitya Siddhas, all together. And isn't it possible that one gopi has the name Purnima? Is it possible? Yes, and they do. Is it possible that one gopi has the name Malika? Yes, and she is there. Does Krishna dance with her and put kunkum on her face? Yes. So, one verse in the Rasa-lila, you can get lost for eternity. One verse of Rasa-lila. It's amazing. Isn't it? And then verse 2. Now we're in verse 3. Kamud Vantam and Akanda Mandalam. So the first they say, try to say it's a symbol, Akanda Mandalam. It's yes, the external Bhautika, the verse, the scene, it's describing the full moon. The moon is full. It's midnight. Okay, let's go deeper. But this Rasa Lila is all about Krishna going out to moon gaze? Oh, the moon is so nice. Okay, I'll go home now. He has some plans. He promised the year before, I will spend many nights with you in the future enjoying like a husband, my Kanyakumaris, or my Brajagopis. And the Nitya Siddhas, they're regularly dancing, sometimes at Govardhan, sometimes at Radhakund. Barsana, Rasa Lila is all over Brajmandal. Wherever they feel like dancing, they dance. There's not a stadium, not like Delhi. This is a stadium, we play cricket here. But every kid and every college, high school student, they play cricket anywhere. You just go anywhere. You go in a parking lot or anywhere on top of the roof of the building and play cricket, isn't it? So Krishna's less? No, Krishna, you can only have rasa dance in Bhamshivat. That's the official rasa arena. So Rasa Lila is in Barsana, Rasa Lila is in Nandagram, Rasa Lila is everywhere. This is Braj. This is Rasa Dham, Rasa Lila. So Akanda Mandalam indicates this rasa. It says, yes, okay, very nice, Akanda Mandalam. I'm happy to see you, full moon. But my mind is not on the Akanda Mandala. My mind is a Rasastali. And I want to call my Nayakas, my gopis there, to dance and dance and dance the entire eternity away in divine love, sacred love with my premies. Akanda Mandalam. So in that Rasa dance, because when Krishna sees the moon, oh, look at the beautiful circle of that moon, the full moon. It's so cooling and so comforting and so romantic. I'm remembering, because we see something, it reminds us of something. If our husband has a yellow Porsche, he has a yellow Porsche, little car, not so costly. He has a yellow Porsche. My father had a yellow Porsche. So then you go somewhere to some other city and you see one. You say, oh, maybe my father's here. Or you remember your father. It's just simply a car. It's only an automobile. But your mind is going there. It's a full moon. I see the full moon. Okay, full moon, good night. Do I think, Rasa Lila, Akanda Mandalam. So Shukadeva Goswami, he knows the mind of the Lord. Vyasadeva knows the mind of the Lord, of Krishna. Because he's one, Taratmika. The Premi Bhakta is Taratmika with the heart of the Lord, Taratmika with his mind. And Vyasadeva wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam in Samadhis. His Bhagavatam is Samadhi Bhashya. He was in Samadhi meditating on the Nitya Ras Leela. He saw the Akanda Mandalam of the Purna Chandra and he understood Krishna's mind. Yes, I see, it's a full moon, I have two eyes. But I see more. As I said, there's different kinds of vision. External vision, internal vision. An external vision, someone sees people and trees. Internal vision, someone sees his Ishtadeva everywhere. Krishna's in your heart everywhere. This is a higher spiritual vision. Akanda mandalam. So we see one thing, we think another thing, isn't it? We go to the store. The husband goes to the store. He sees a new watch just came out, ladies' watch. He sees it's a watch. Is that all he sees? He says, it's a watch. Anyone can see. But another man will look at that watch, and will he think of his, of that other man's wife? I hope not. But the husband will see the watch and think, oh, this is a very nice watch. This will look very nice on my wife, and it's her birthday tomorrow. I'll buy this for her. So he buys, and he wraps, and he gives to her. So he sees an object and reminds him of his beloved. So that's the Premi Bhakta. He sees things in this world, and his mind goes to Leela. His mind goes to his Ishtadev. He sees this thing, and his mind goes there. Because your mind goes where your heart is. If your heart is with God and with Leela, then your mind collects information from the senses. The senses give information from the mind. Then the mind travels where the heart resides. So the heart resides with God, and the Leela is the Nam and form of God. Then the mind will travel on the power of that Prem Karshan. The Prem Karshan in the heart will attract the mind to bring that object into the heart of the Premi and then create remembrance of the Leela and vision of the Ishta. This happens. So now imagine Krishna. If we can do it as Premi Bhaktas or as advanced devotees, what to speak of the Lord? He's really Krishna conscious. In Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he has complete Krishna consciousness. And moreover, he has complete Radha consciousness. And we say we have to become Krishna conscious. Join the Krishna consciousness movement. It's a very good idea. But when you join the Krishna consciousness movement, you find out, you might say, well, I joined the Krishna consciousness movement. I'm trying to be conscious of Krishna and serve him, remember him, and worship him. And hopefully go to him, attain Golok Dham Prapti. Prem Seva Prapti, Radha Krishna Prem Seva Prapti. But I have a question. What is in Krishna's consciousness? I'm supposed to put Krishna in my consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But I'm an intelligent person, so I'm worshiping Krishna and trying to develop Krishna consciousness. But I'm a particle of consciousness, and Krishna is the infinite consciousness, unlimited consciousness, Anu and Vibhu. I'm Vibhu Chaitanya. I'm Anu Chaitanya. Anuchit. Anu Chaitanya. This is a description of Bhagavat Tattva. I am Anu Chaitanya. Anuchit. Anu Anand. And Sat. Sat means Sat. And God is Vibhu. Vibhu Chaitanya. Vast, unlimited, all-pervading consciousness everywhere. Vibhu Chaitanya. Anu Chaitanya. So in my Anu Chaitanya, I'm supposed to put Krishna, become Krishna conscious. You should be Krishna conscious. Why aren't you chanting? You're in Maya. Maya consciousness. Money consciousness. Body consciousness. Body building. Body shop. This, that. Be in God consciousness. Who's God? God has a name. Yes, Krishna. Krishna consciousness. So then you might ask the question, well, what's in the consciousness of Vibhu consciousness? God. Vibhu Chaitanya, God. What's in Krishna's consciousness? What's the answer? It's not what, it's who. Because we're not putting a what in our consciousness, we're putting a who. The Supreme Divine Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Our consciousness should be full of God. That means God realization, God consciousness. But God is a person, and he has beautiful names. Govinda, Gopinath, Madhav, Damodar, Shamsundar, Makanchur. So many names. Anantanam, Vishnu Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam. So many names. What's in Krishna's consciousness? Radha. Krishna is 100% Radha in Radha consciousness. So when you come to the Krishna consciousness movement, you say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to put Krishna in my consciousness, and I'm worshipping Krishna, but then I found out that he's worshipping Radha. Krishna's worshipping Radha, and he's fully Radha conscious. So it seems to me I should become Radha Krishna conscious. I should develop Radha Krishna consciousness, and that's exactly what Gaudiya Vaishnavism is all about. First become conscious of Krishna, Shaktiman, and then become conscious of Shakti, Parashakti, Sarva Shaktimai Radha. First become God conscious. God means Bhagavan, Krishna, Krishna conscious. Then become Bhagavati conscious. Bhagavati Radha, Bhagavan Sham. So that's, people initially come to Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna, Krishna conscious, Krishna conscious. And after some time, then the guru, as one surrenders and advances, then he realizes, Krishna is always conscious of Radha. Krishna is always serving Radha. Krishna is always remembering Radha. Krishna is doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Radha Smaranam, Radha Padasevanam, Radha Archanam, Radha Vandanam, Radha Dasyam, Radha Sakiyam, and Radha Atmanavedanam. Atmanavedanam. He's dedicated and fully surrendered his entire being to Radha. Is it not? So then, oh, this is not the Krishna consciousness movement. There's some secret here, some guya. It's the Radha Krishna Conscious, International Society for Radha Krishna Consciousness. Who is the Ishtadeva in every temple? Radha and Krishna. What are all the books about? Radha and Krishna. Who is the guru? He's a Sakya of Radharani. Who is the Param Guru? He's a Sakya of Radharani. Who is the Paratara Guru? He's a Sakya of Radharani. Who is the Parameshti Guru? They're all Sakyas of Radharani. Sakyas are very much conscious of Radha. Confirmed. And very much conscious of Krishna. So when Krishna sees the full moon, he thinks of the Rasmandala. That's what's on his mind. When he thought about romance, he thought about dance. Dance, romance. Common is ants. Romance, dance. Dance and romance, romance and dance. So Krishna's a playful Lord. He dances, he sings, he plays. And when you dance, you also embrace. And when you dance, you also kiss. So everything's included. It's all inclusive. A to Z. In a dance. So Rasa-lila is a rasa-dance. Rasa-pancha-dhyaya. Rasa-pancha-dhyaya. Divine celebration of love. Whirling, spinning. Even the Sufis. Sufis are a mystic branch of the Muslim religion. Sufis. And they have the whirling dervishes. There's a group of mystic saints called whirling dervishes. And they're some kind of mystics. And they commune with their Lord. And they part of their communion, part of the religious ritual or expression of their divinity or their communion with God is to dance and dance and dance. Play music and dance. And they whirl and they spin and spin, whirling dervishes, round and around and around, like gyros, like gyroscopes. You know, when you're a kid, you have this little thing that's shaped like this, and you go, like, and it goes, you know, Rasamandala. The whirling dervishes are like gyroscopes. They're just going around and around, and they're happy, they're joyful. I've met some and whirled around. Because when we're young, we try all different things, and it's fun, and we all get together. There's gathering of the clans, and everyone, all different religious groups, who all get together. In America, they have many communion events. They had in the 70s when I was a young man, and then we took part in many of these things. We're trying to find the essence of life. So we searched everything we could find, Sufism and Christianity and Hinduism and yoga and Raj Yoga and Hatha, so many things. And somehow my Gurudev said, this is the thing, love of God. I said, that sounds familiar. I was born a Christian 23 years ago, and my priest said, the goal of life is to love God. Love the Lord thy Father as you would love your fellow man as you would love yourself. Love the Lord thy Father with all your thoughts, words, and deeds. In other words, it's Old English. Love God the Father with all your thoughts, words, and deeds. Does that sound familiar? It's very familiar. It's an English shloka from Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavamad bhakta madhyaji mam namaskru mame vaishasi satyante pratijane priyosime priya priyaji radha priyatam sham priya pyari pyariju pyariju pyari 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 radha pyari pyari meri pyari mera pyari meri pyari my lover radha 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 priya. Krishna is saying, you become my Priyaji, my Priya Bhakta, my Priya Sakhi, my Pran Sakhi. In Gita, Jesus said the same thing. Can realize saints of love say anything different? The God of love will speak the same. The God of love speaks in the Bible. The God of love speaks in Gita. Jesus is speaking on behalf of the Lord. Love God the Father with all your thoughts, words, and deeds. Manmana, thoughts. Manmana bhavad bhakto madhyaji, that means deeds. Yaji means puja, worship, action. Yaji, manamaskru, action. Thoughts, words, and deeds. Kayo mano vakya. Kayo mano vakya. Kayo, body, mano mind, vakya, words, vani. Body, mind, words. Man, we say man tan dan, Guru Samarpan. What if you have no dan? If you don't have Don means money. Don means mind also. Give your mind to God. If you're Niskinshin, you're Garib. You're Garib. Don doesn't simply mean bhikshu or bakshish, money. Tan, body. Man, tan, don. Mind, body. And Don means your actions, your money actions, your very, money means action. Money means power. Money means movement. So give your movements, give your power, give your talent, energy to God. Man, tan, dan, guru samarpan, Krishna samarpan. So Khanda Mandalam, he's thought of the rasa dance. And it indicates, yes, there will be a rasa dance. We don't know exactly who with. There's a moon, and Krishna's feeling romantic, and it's a romantic night, romantic flowers, and he's thinking, he's seeing flowers, and seeing a beautiful flower, white lotus flower, Kamudi is thinking the lotus flower gopi faces, the Padma Muk, the Kamala Muk, the lotus flower, tender, sweet, attractive, fragrant, colorful faces of all the gopis. And when does he meet the gopis? Well, he'll meet them in the rasa dance. So now he's thinking, Akanda Mandalam, yes. Oh, you're in a circle, full moon, Akanda Mandalam, Tristwa, Kamud Vantam. I saw the white lotus flowers, and I saw the white moon, Drisva Akanda Mandalam. A circle, and effulgence, and coolness, and refreshment, and happiness. Yes, I can make my own circle, and I'm also a moon. I'm Krishna Chandra, and I can collect all the gopis, and we can dance, we can make a circle like the Akanda Mandala of the moon, and my gopis are effulgent, and their love is so cooling, and their love is so refreshing and so soothing, like the Akanda Mandalam moonbeams. I will enjoy the moon above and the moon in front of me, the moonlight gopi faces, Chandramukhi Radha. Chandramukhi Radha and I will dance together, and I will gaze at her moonlike face and feel the coolness and radiance of her love, bathe my heart with waves of love and bhav. I'll be so satisfied and so fulfilled. The moon above is soothing my mind, and the moonlike face of Radharani soothes my aching heart, paining and separation, like a husband long separated from his wife. Dirgadarshana means Krishna. Wife means conjugal lover, amorous lover. So my amorous lover is not my wife, it's my paramour. And I want to color her face. So Dirgadarshana indicates that Krishna will meet Radha. After a long separation, Dirgadarshana, previous verse too. They left each other in the morning at 6 o'clock. They saw briefly here and there through the kunjas of the coward boys. 6 o'clock at sunrise, they separated. And Radharani was withering away in separation, melting and burning away in the viraha agni. And so was Krishna. He only went out with the coward boys as an excuse to give him something to do. Because his mind was preoccupied. Radha, Radha, when can we meet? How can we meet? Why do we have to wait so long? Anyway, let me keep myself occupied. Let me play some computer games. Passing the time till I meet my beloved. He's passing the time with the coward boys. And he's relishing Sakyabhav, Sakyarati. But his heart is hankering. You may relish playing cricket with your friend, but your heart is thinking something else. You're playing cricket on Saturday afternoon, but your heart is thinking of Saturday night. It's Saturday afternoon. Let's play cricket, but your heart is thinking, 8 o'clock tonight, I'll meet so-and-so. So Krishna's playing, keeping himself busy, otherwise he'll go crazy in separation. Pagal. Crazy. In love. Love makes you crazy. So then, now, Kandamandalam, the beautiful moon-like faces of the gopis will shine their love light on me. The cool, sweet rays of the prema will come out of their eyes. And I will bathe in that beautiful, and the Durga Darshan will be over. The Viraha will be over. I'll soothe and satisfy my aching, burning soul in the association of my Priyaji Radha under the full moon beams. Cool above, cool in front, and cool within. The sweet waves of love. This is a Kandamandalam. So all these thoughts come in Krishna's mind, and Vyasamuni has entered his mind in samadhi and described Krishna sees a Kandamandalam and he thinks of Rasamandalam. He sees the face of the moon, he thinks of Radha. This is Vyasadeva. This is Krishna's mind. As you know, I gave you the example. You're playing cricket. Is your mind fully there and maybe somewhere else? Oh, my wife, she went to her mother's house for 1 week. She's coming back tonight at 8 o'clock. I'll pick her up at the airport. It's been a long week. It's been a very long week. She's been at her mother's house. And I'm just eating here and there. Like I'm dying without her cooking. And I'm missing her tenderness and association and service. Tonight she's coming in on that flight from Bombay. And definitely I'm going to be there an hour early. So he's playing cricket, but the mind is looking at his watch. Okay, I think that's enough. Bye. I have to go now. What do you have to do? Well, I have some business to attend to. Maybe we'll meet tomorrow. Because it's a confidential matter. So then you go. So Krishna sees a full moon. Yes, Kandamandalam, Raslila. So this is, when he sees the Kandamandalam, the acharyas say, he remembers Radharani's face, as I've already described. Her face is unbroken with love. Her eyes, the love in her eyes never breaks. It takes on a different presentation. Man, sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag. And the eyes look different. In man, they look, but still full of love. In man, it appears to be contrary mood, bhamya, bhamya prakar. Contrary, unfavorable mood. Oh, you came late for Milan? And Kunj, you came late to meet me at sunrise? A whole night I'm waiting? Don't touch me. Don't look at me. I don't want to see you. She's looking, Radharani's looking from the side corner of her eyes with man, man, ak, man. Go away. Stay. I don't want to be with you. Don't leave. So that's a special eye that Radharani shows in man, but it's full of love. So this is when Krishna sees the full moon, he thinks, Chandramukhi Radha. Okay, Udaraj, Dandavat, Udaraj. Akandamandala Purna Chandra, Dandavat. Ah, Chandramukhi Radha. So sweet, so satisfying, so cooling. My soul, I'm burning without you. The moon is rising. Please, Radharani, will your moon-like face rise over the horizon of Vrindavan and appear before my eyes to soothe my aching heart, crying in separation, burning in separation. This is a Kandamandalam. Shri Radhe. Bahapuran Srimad Bhagavatam Aki. Yeah.